Welcome to The Common Share, a podcast about cooperative businesses. I'm Asa Marshall with Cooperatives First, an organization that promotes co-op business development in rural and Indigenous communities across Western Canada. We're recording in Saskatoon on Treaty 6 territory and the traditional homeland of the Métis. In this episode, our Director of Education, Kyle White, spoke to David Gray, the Client Services Manager with Project Equity. Project Equity helps businesses transition to employee ownership, and in this conversation, Kyle and David talk about the benefits of worker cooperatives and why business owners might want to consider one.
Yeah, so I work for Project Equity. We're based in the States. We're a national organization, nonprofit organization of business consultants. And our focus is really to move employee ownership into the mainstream. I'm going to mostly be talking from the perspective of the U.S. context, but I do live up here in Canada. I've spent quite a lot of time in Canada. So I'll try to make it as accurate in terms of the cross-border dynamics. But so Project Equity has been going for about 9 years now, and we really focus on proving the model of moving businesses that are established into employee ownership. So we're not focused on starting new worker co-ops. We're focused on converting established businesses into some form of employee ownership. And we look at three different forms. So there's the ESOP, which is a fairly traditional, well-known approach to employee ownership in the States. We've also been working with worker co-ops, which is a very known model here in Canada. And then the third model is the employee-owned trust. And employee-owned trust is a newer model. It's coming out of the UK. There's been quite a lot of conversation about that here in Canada. And an employee-owned trust is another vehicle of employee ownership.
Maybe just for folks that aren't familiar with the terms, can you explain what an ESOP is? And is there any advantage to any one of those models?
Yeah, so the ESOP is called an employee stock ownership plan. The greatest benefits, from my understanding, are in the States from a tax perspective. And so in Canada, I know that there are some ESOPs, especially with cross-border ownership, but I don't understand that there are those same benefits from a tax perspective for an ESOP in Canada that there are in the States. Part of the dynamic in the States to be able to get that tax benefit is an ESOP is basically a stock ownership plan that the employees are able to buy into. Part of the dynamic that occurs there is every year the business needs to be evaluated based on trying to set the value of those stocks. So it's a pretty cumbersome process. So roughly, I'd say if you're not seeing revenue north of 5 million, if you don't have more than 40, 45 employees in the States, it probably doesn't make sense to use an ESOP approach. Although it's very common, it is the standard approach to employee ownership in the States. Now, employee-owned trust, or an EOT, as it's sometimes referred to, is creating a trust structure that owns the business for the benefit of the employees. And so it's kind of like a hybrid model in some ways. There are not the same tax benefits. It's easier. It can be quicker. And part of the advantage of that is the long-term legacy that the business is able to maintain, because the perpetual trust in concept is supposed to go on forever. And so it just will continue to own that business. So the employees don't own the business per se, the trust owns it for their benefit. And then a worker co-op is a pretty standard approach that quite a few people are familiar with. So a worker co-op, we do partial worker co-ops and we do full worker co-ops. Those work from anywhere, I'd say, from 3 to 4 employees up to hundreds of employees. And what occurs there is that employees are able to become members. When they become a member, there's usually a membership fee that they pay in to have the right to become a member of that worker co-op. And then they have the two benefits that we really talk about in terms of ownership are profit sharing and a voice. And so we see that there's some control dynamics and there's some profit sharing dynamics. And those are the key things that we're looking for when we talk about employee ownership.
Gotcha. I'm more familiar with worker co-ops, I guess.
Yeah.
But how many of these types of employee-owned businesses would you say are out there in Canada and the US?
I can't speak to the Canadian context. I know that the bulk of them here in Canada are in Quebec. Quebec is decades ahead of the rest of us here in Canada in terms of this. They have basically allowed, I mean, there's government support for it. There's tax benefits, from my understanding. There's agencies in from the federal government there in Quebec that are able to push this forward. I don't know the numbers across the board in Canada. In the States, we talk about, I do think that the ratio is probably one out of eight employee-owned businesses in the States is a worker co-op, with seven out of eight being an ESOP. And yet the movement towards worker co-ops is really, I would say, in two key areas, maybe three. So the Bay Area of San Francisco, Oakland has a large grouping of worker co-ops. That's where we're based out of at Project Equity. New York City has quite a lot, and same with Boston. We are intentionally focusing on areas where there's like an interest, but there hasn't been a lot of traction yet. And so we are looking across the country, trying to identify spots that would really kind of benefit from this work. I would say it's getting a lot of traction in the last 10 years.
Okay, very interesting. What would you say motivates folks to consider converting their business to a co-op?
Yeah, so my experience, what brought me to employee ownership and working in this field, was I was working for Habitat for Humanity in the San Francisco Bay Area. And what I was doing with Habitat for Humanity, which is a nonprofit that helps build homes for folks, they have what are called restores, which are basically hardware thrift stores. And I was doing business development, so I was looking for product from construction companies, from businesses that they could donate, that we could sell in our thrift stores. And over the course of about a 2-year period, I worked with about 60 to 70 small business owners and large business owners that were not able to sell their business. And so they were having to wrap the business down. They were donating the extra surplus, and that's how I got the phone call. Now, your question was how and what motivates folks? And what I experienced was that it's a lot of folks aren't able to sell their business. The numbers in both the States and Canada are roughly only one out of five businesses in the small, mid-sized businesses that goes on the market is ever sold. And that's been the experience I've seen. And I think there are a couple of reasons for that. Sometimes business owners are pretty confident that they'll be able to sell their business, and they don't give themselves enough time to sell it. Sometimes they assume they'll be able to transfer it to their children, and their children aren't interested. Sometimes it's a unique niche market. And so for somebody to come in and buy that business without a deep understanding of the market, it's quite risky. And so sometimes there's that lack of understanding, lack of experience. And so I think part of the benefit about moving towards employee ownership is that it gives selling owners an exit strategy. And it also helps them maintain the legacy. I've started a couple small businesses, and I kind of want to know they're still going on. I was working with a business owner in the Bay Area, down in San Francisco area, and he had started a nursery. And in this, well, he didn't start, he bought a nursery. This nursery had been in this location for over 80 years. And part of the dynamic for him when he sold the business to his employees, he wanted to make sure the name was still the same. So it still says Westbrae Nursery, because that was part of what he had poured his life into. He was really proud of it. He lived in the community. He wanted to be able to drive down the road and see the nursery continuing. And so that legacy dynamic was really key for him. But he also wanted to allow the employees that had been building this product with him, this nursery, to continue to be able to maintain that moving forward.
Interesting, very cool. I guess then on the flip side of that, then maybe what kind of conditions need to be in place for the employees of a business to want to buy the business from the business owner?
Yeah, well, I mean, in some ways, I might get a little bit into the weeds here of how this happens. So, part of the work that we do is we have kind of stages to the work we do. The first stage is when we're working with that business owner that might be interested in selling their business to their employee. The first thing we do is called a feasibility study. And what we're doing there is going really deep into the numbers. We're trying to understand, is this a healthy business? Will this business be able to maintain itself in the future for, like, say, the next 15, 20 years? And then the third thing that we're looking for is what type of debt payments can the profit of this business, if it kind of continues on the straight path that it's on, what type of loan payments could it pay off? And so that's a way for us to understand what type of sale price could maybe be in place there. And so to your question about what needs to be in place, it needs to be a profitable business. It's not going to do anybody any good if a business that's on decline is not really going to be able to make it in the future is sold to the employees. That really doesn't benefit anybody. So what we're really trying to focus on is try to find an approach that works for everybody, kind of like the win-win that we always talk about. And so we want a situation where the owners are paid a fair price for their business. The employees are able to buy a business that's going to be profitable and going to benefit them long-term.
And again, I don't know if you have data on this or anything, but what would you say is the uptake among employees? Would you say folks are, when presented the option, very open to the idea of becoming business owners themselves?
Yeah, you know, I think maybe a question that I would almost answer before I get to that one is, what is causing, like, why don't we see more conversions of businesses to employee ownership? And I think one of the reasons we don't see a lot of transition from established businesses to ownership of the by the employees is some misconceptions. And so one of those key misconceptions is, I think employees think, how am I ever going to be able to come up with enough money to buy this business? And one of the unique things about our model is we've gone after lenders. We've worked with community development, financial institutions. We've found lenders that understand employee ownership and are willing to loan to that employee group for them to buy the business without the need for a personal guarantee. And what they are doing is they are taking out the loan as the business. And that business's track record of the last 30 years is proving that they can take on that loan payment and take on that loan. And so the lenders need to be familiar with that and understand that. And so what that does is it allows the employee group to come in and buy the business without risking their own capital or having to bring a lot of money to the table to buy that business. And so one of the things that's key is for employees to understand that there's a path forward, that they can do this. The second thing is for employees to recognize that this is even an option. I think a lot of employees, maybe they've heard of a co-op, but it's a grocery co-op, or, you know, it's the coffee shop that's a co-op. Like, how many people have heard of tech co-ops? Well, you know, there are there. I had a wonderful chance to convert a tech company in the Bay Area, in Oakland area, that was 35 employees, and they were able to buy this tech business. And so now they are a worker co-op. And it's been really exciting because for them, if they would have, if the business would have been sold to somebody else, it probably would have been broken up. There would have been a couple departments that would have maybe stayed on, and there might have been some other departments that would have kind of been cut off, or there would have been significant layoffs. But this business was able to stay, is its full business, it was intact, and it was able to move forward in employee ownership. The other issue that I think happens here is sometimes owners don't think of selling to their employees. They might think of selling just to the management team. But once again, you get into these issues, is there capital just with the management team? When you're able to sell to the full employee base, you're bringing the whole team along. So you get that wisdom, the knowledge base, and that drive for success.
Yeah, that's really good insight, actually. Because here at Cooperatives First, we've been a part of a couple of projects where businesses have been in transition to the employee ownership. And in my experience, almost all of those projects start with the business owner. Do you find that's the case in your work as well?
Well, that's where we start. And so part of, you know, there's only so much anybody can do. And so as a nonprofit, we've kind of looked at the industry, we've looked at the kind of economic reality in the States, and we've said, you've got selling owners. Many of them are part of what we call the silver tsunami, which is this baby boomers that own roughly 60% of small businesses that are small, mid-sized businesses are owned by baby boomers. They're retiring. So there's a need for them to find an exit to their ownership. And we've said, okay, if they've got this need, maybe we can create a solution for them that addresses both a fair price for them, but it also addresses the legacy piece and also those employees that are there. The other thing that's interesting is the benefit to the local community. I'm from a small town, and you know, the hardware store really mattered in this small farming town. And if that would close and a Walmart was 25 miles away, that can really impact our community. And so there's a benefit to the community to be able to maintain these legacy businesses. So, yeah, I think for us, what we have found is the business owner is the decision maker. And so if we can show them that this might be a viable option for them, they're able to do that financial analysis to be able to get an idea, a ballpark of what they could sell their business to their employees. And then if they feel comfortable and they say, yeah, this is going to work for us, then they can move forward and talk to the employees. And then that's when we have an employee meeting. I come in, I talk with the employees. I say, hey, here's an idea. What do you think of this? Would you like to become an owner? And that's when I always get the question, like, where are we going to come up with the money? Is it going to be successful? Are we going to just be buying a lemon here that's not going to work for us? And then we work with that employee group for the next 6 to 9 months to help them understand how the business functions, how it will function in the future, and help work with them to structure that future employee-owned business so that the bylaws, the operating agreements support their desired outcomes. So I do think that business owners are the people to talk to first, because once you've got them committed to the process, it allows the whole thing to move forward.
With that said, the process almost always starts with the business owner. What would you say is their first step? Is it contacting an organization like Project Equity to get involved?
Yeah. So, you know, I've got a friend that he owns this cabinet company here, and he was asking me the other day, how would I start this process? And I think the first place is to do some research. And so there are great resources out there. Our website, projectequity.org, we're, I think, a good resource. We've got a lot of case studies. We've got some data. We've got some white papers. We don't work in Canada, you know, so we're not going to be a great resource there. But in Canada, there's wonderful resources. You guys are one of the places I often refer people to. You've got a great stuff on your website. The Co-op Creator website is outstanding. The depth of resources you put there are just, I love it. There's also the Democracy at Work Institute in the States, sometimes referred to as DAWI. Oftentimes, local provinces have co-op associations, but there are also a growing industry of developers here in Canada. The Co-Active is a new development group in BC where I'm located, and it's some people that have been in the industry for a long time, and I know they've started a pilot program where they are doing feasibility studies with businesses. So I think the first place to start is a feasibility study for a business owner to be able to research the potential of selling to their employees without necessarily talking to the employees yet, because you don't want to risk the disappointment from the employees. You don't want to jeopardize that long-term business health by bringing this into the conversation too soon. But once you've got that feasibility study and you can see that, yeah, this is going to work, that's when I think you can move forward in some of this. Now, we're talking a lot about employee ownership transition from the perspective of the owner. There are a lot of folks that have really specialized in different approaches that maybe can do it kind of bottom up. And I know that in Quebec, that's one of the things they've done a lot of. And I know there are other folks here in Canada that have done that as well. And I'm guessing you've spoken to folks that do that.
Can you maybe explain the distinction there? What's that?
Yeah, I'm feeling like to answer that question, I'm a little bit out of my wheelhouse of knowledge. I've really sat in the focus from supporting the owners to sell to their employees. But, you know, like if I was a employee at a company, knowing what I know now, if the owner, you know, the boss was probably 50 to 55 or older, I would probably want to do some research. I'd want to find some case studies of how this has happened. And if I had a good relationship with the boss, I'd maybe say, hey, have you looked into this? You know, these might be some options. Or I'd maybe talk with a couple colleagues and say, hey, would we ever want to do this? Because one of the things that I find is there's a lot of fear on both sides. Owners think, oh, there's no way the employees would want to do this, or maybe they're not capable. And the employees are like, oh, I don't know if I could do this, but they're experts. Oftentimes the employees are the ones that have really been running the business for quite a few years.
That's maybe a good place then to ask about what are some of the challenges you've seen with converting a company to a co-op?
COVID?
Yeah. It's universal.
There's some universal dynamics of that. You know, I think the biggest thing, and I've already referred to this earlier, is the misconceptions out there. I also think one of the challenges that, you know, I have faced in converting businesses is allowing folks to pivot from the perspective of us versus them and moving to a place of us doing this together. So part of the benefit, and the ones that I have found kind of the easiest, is when the selling owner really believes in the vision and they want to make it happen, and that they are concerned about everybody benefiting, that they get a fair price, but that the employees are able to see some real potential future, and that the business is going to be healthy. From the employee's perspective, it's the same type of thing. I find that they sometimes wrestle with the fact of, like, do I really want the owner to be able to get the money for the sale of the business? And so sometimes I think our society causes us to kind of become oppositional. And I have found it best when folks can kind of do it together. Part of our approach to this is that usually the kind of the financial structure of the sale is that the selling owner might do either an earnout or a seller note where they finance maybe 30 to 50% of that purchase price. And then that lender comes in with the additional, say, 50 to 60% of the purchase price. And so what that means is the selling owner gets some money the day of the sale, and that over the course of the next, say, 5 years, they're going to be able to see some continued funds come in via the note or through an earnout. And I really think an earnout is a really unique opportunity for both parties to have that mutual alignment. So if the business really is profitable, both the employees and the selling owner get to see some of that higher return. If it's going to be a challenging couple, 3 years, then the selling owner isn't selling the business for too high of a price that cripples that business to grow.
Well, that sounds like a really winning arrangement too, because if you've already done the feasibility analysis to get the employees on site to buy it out, and you've got some financial backing from the owner, then it definitely sounds like a bankable arrangement.
Yeah, and then part of the dynamic, usually because the selling owner has extended some type of note or loan or an earnout, we oftentimes have them sit on the board of directors for that worker co-op for the length of that term. And so the co-op is able to still benefit from the institutional knowledge that that selling owner has, those relationships. You know, so if this is an owner that has had long-term established relationships with some of its customers, then they are able to keep that moving forward. And so that the customers aren't like, oh, we're going to run away because there's going to be a new owner. The owner's able to say, no, it's the same people you've been working with. I'm in fact going to continue to be a part of this moving forward.
Maybe to contextualize some of this, can you share an example of a conversion that you recently worked on?
Yeah, you know, so I referred to this tech company. Alternative Technologies is a tech company in California. Worked with them. It was a longer process because of COVID. And so that became a significant challenge because they weren't sure how the revenue would be impacted by the implications of COVID. What they do is they support nonprofits. They come in and do tech support for nonprofits, and they weren't sure what the impact of that would be. But I had an amazing opportunity to work with this wonderful folks that were able to kind of think through their business and see how becoming employee-owned would benefit them. And some of the things that were really an asset for them that they hadn't thought of at the beginning, but during the process they started to reflect on, was that in the tech industry, most software developers, they kind of roll out of a job in about a year and a half to 2 years. And they were recognizing that employee ownership might be a way for tech developers to stay in the business longer. And so they saw that employee ownership would really benefit the business itself as it moved forward. But so I had the chance to move that forward. I worked with a group of about 7 employees over the course of a year, where we were kind of doing a lot of education around how worker co-ops function. helping support them to think through what are the key things they want in their future worker co-op. What's the membership buy-in going to be? How long is the membership candidacy going to be? How do you want to value patronage and do that? So that was a fun experience. They are thriving now. And so they are moving forward. They are part of the broader worker co-op movement in California. And I really think they're going to be a model for many others. So that would be an example. Another fun one that I've been working with is a bakery in Southern California. They're in LA. This is a bakery of about 30, about 25 employees, sorry. And they really had, it was an interesting situation because it was a Gen X owner. It wasn't somebody who was in this older baby boomers. The owner was like, you know what? I've done this. I want to do something else. But she really had a vision for benefiting the employees that had helped build this with her. And so we were able to go through the process. And what was so exciting was to see how the local community celebrated this transition. You know, when they put on the door at Proof Bakery that they are worker owned, the energy in the local community, like I've heard some of the comments, and if you go on their website, some of the reviews are things like, I used to love them, but now they're also employee owned. I love them even more. And so those are kind of some of the fun things that I get to do. I've done a butcher, I've done a baker. Literally, I'm waiting for my candlestick maker. And so that's going to be the next one, I hope.
I like that. Yeah, that's really funny. I think in some of the conversations I've had with economic development folks, when we talk about employee buyouts, and through a lot of the examples that are out there, I think a lot of folks think about this as an urban phenomenon. You know, bakeries, craft, coffee places, tech companies. But I think you mentioned earlier the impact that, say, a hardware store has to small towns. So I'm wondering, what kind of trends are you seeing in like urban versus rural areas with these sort of buyouts?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm from a small town. I wasn't a farmer. I worked on farms a lot. What's interesting is ag co-ops are a known thing, right? You go into small towns, they understand this. You know, the barn raising, right? There's this idea in smaller towns where we know we need each other. We can depend on each other. We want to support each other. I'm not sure the broader trends, but I would say that I think an employee conversion to employee ownership is not based on region. I don't think the math is any different in the small town as it is in the big city. The idea here is we wrestle with the question, is it a healthy business? If it's a healthy business, what type of loan payments can it pay off with its profit over the next 5 years? And then what that does is it allows that business to maintain itself. If it's a business that's probably dying off anyways, this is not a good approach. But the hardware store, they're probably always going to be there. The gas station, mechanic shop, you know, we can look at these, you know, anchor businesses in these communities.
Yeah, awesome. Really, really, I think that's really good insight for folks who'll be listening. If you were to give some advice, maybe to business owners that are looking at selling their business in the next little while, what's some advice that you'd like to just kind of plant a seed right now?
Start today. It takes time. You want to look at your options. You don't want the tyranny of time to hit you. So what I mean by that is go to one of these websites, talk to some folks that specialize in this, and just start the process. We do free consultations on our website. People can call and we can set up an appointment with folks. And what we try to do is we try to allow folks to reflect on their own needs, their own desires, their timeline to figure out what the right solution is for them. And so that's where an employee-owned trust might be a better option. Maybe a worker co-op, maybe an ESOP, maybe it's some other form of employee ownership, but it's going to take time. I think one of the things that I have found, and I'm going to relate it to parents with kids. There's a dynamic sometimes with parents with kids that they think, oh, my kid can't do wrong. They are so special. And, you know, I've started a couple businesses and I think the same about these businesses. I'm like, this is so amazing. This business is so valuable. That's not always the case. And so the reason I think business owners need to start as soon as possible is to have a realistic understanding of what the value of their business is and what their options are. And to be able to go down the various paths and say, if I put this on the market, what will it do? What will the impact be for the community, for my employees, for me, even in terms of what type of sale price I'll be able to get? And are there other options that would be a better fit for me? So I'd start first. I'd talk to professionals. I'd read case studies. I'd try to see some options. And what I'd try to do is think outside of the box and let yourself dream. And so one of the things that's fun for me is to hear business owners maybe 2 to 3 years after they've sold the business to think, you know, this is still going. I still have an input. I have a legacy that I can see in my community where this thing that I helped build with my employees is still going on and still benefiting folks.
Yeah, that's some good advice. And I guess if folks are looking for some of those case studies, I know your guys' website is a pretty great resource for lots of cool stories. And it probably wouldn't take long of someone looking around there to see a business similar to their own.
Yeah.
Cool examples of bakeries, you know, pharmacy convenience store combos, really, really common businesses.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so nurseries, landscaping, tech company, bakery, butcher shop, grocery store, ag co-op, hardware stores, consulting groups, accounting companies, bookkeepers. I mean, we really are touching all the various industries.
Very cool. So I guess maybe flipping my last question on the other side, what's some advice you would give employees of a business now?
Yeah, I kind of come back to the same thing. I would educate yourself. Look at the various options, because if I were an owner and the employees came to me with this, I'd want to know if it was possible. I'd want to be able to figure out, how would I do it? Who has done it before me? Is it successful? What does the research say? And those are the types of things that I would encourage employees to think about. Put themselves in the owner's shoes and say, what questions would they be asking? What are the various options? There's a lot of professionals out here that do this work. And I'm glad you mentioned our website. We have really focused on, as I kind of shared with you, our focus is to bring employee ownership to the mainstream. And so for us to do that, we need to prove how to do it. We also need to push the story out. And so we've put a lot of energy into writing up case studies, to doing video interviews with folks, to hear kind of the story of how employee ownership could work and the benefits of it.
All right. Is there anything else you think folks should know about worker co-ops, employee-owned businesses, or transitioning to a co-op?
Well, you're going to ask me to preach, it sounds like. What really gets me most excited about a conversion of an established business to employee ownership is not that first round of members. Because those first members of that co-op, that first group of employees that helped do that buyout, they're going to benefit. They're going to have some type of profit sharing. They're going to have more advocacy, more voice in decisions. But what really excites me is the generation that comes behind them, maybe in 5 or 10 years, or the generation that comes even behind them. Because what's going to occur, the dynamics of this business, you know, we've seen that businesses that have employee ownership are healthier. Because employees start caring more about stuff. You know, I'll never forget this bakery I was talking about. When we looked at the profit and loss statements and the balance sheets with the employee group, and they started to see how much they were paying, or how much the business was paying for cups of coffee, the paper cups. One of the baristas made a comment, "I'm never going to double cup a coffee unless the customer ask for it, because it costs us so much money." And that to me is a great example of the benefits of employee ownership. When employees start to understand the impact of the way they do their work, the way they encounter the customers, and they can see the benefit for that, it allows that business to be more profitable down the road. And thus, the second and third generation of employees, you've got quality jobs in the local community for those future generations. And that's what gets me really excited about the work we do.
Thank you for joining us. For more on us and what we do, visit cooperativesfirst.com. If you need resources for starting your own co-op, check out coopcreator.com. It's a great resource site that has everything you need to get a co-op up and running. To give us your thoughts on anything we discussed in this episode, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, or on Twitter as coops_first.